Coming up, we'll answer the question, could quitting actually help your career? And then what type of jobs are growing in our economy? And should remote tech workers be worried? I'll answer that, and I coach you up next. Coaching you to get the competitive edge to make more money and more impact. This is the Ken Coleman Show. So excited that you've joined us. You matter, and your well-being professionally matters tremendously. And that's why I'm here. I'm your coach, counselor, cheerleader, all in one call. We'll get to your calls a little bit later. But first, let's take on quitting. We are seeing record amounts of people quit. This doesn't slow down. And so it's worth diving into. Wait a second. Is quitting the best move for me professionally right now? Because I think automatically we tend to go, well, Ken, if I quit to something that pays me more, it's a no-brainer. Is it? It might increase your pay, yes. But this is the tricky little question. Does it guarantee growth? Well, it grew my bank account. Yeah. Until you overspend it. Or you get used to it. So, yes, quitting can increase your pay. But does it guarantee professional growth, which has personal implications? Let's look at the data. Research from Zipia shows that the average salary increase when changing jobs is 14.8%. Woo-hoo! Yeah, baby! I mean, there's no disputing that if you quit your job in today's world, you're probably quitting for a bigger paycheck. But again, and I'm all for that, but it better be more than just a paycheck or else it's going to wear off. But quickest way to make more money is quit. Check the box. 14.8% jump. Compare that to the average salary increase when employees stay put in their jobs and they're just getting their annual bumps, if you will, to 5.8% increase. So it's almost triple. The Muse, oh, I've contributed to before, and Catherine Minshew has been a contributor on this program. She's the founder of Muse, had a study of over 2,500 workers that found that 72% experienced surprise or regret after transitioning jobs when they discovered it wasn't all that it was cracked up to be. Now, again, I'm going to pause here and hang out for just a moment. 72% of workers who changed jobs said, I was surprised by how it actually turned out. It wasn't what they said it was or what I assumed it was. And then others regretted it. Surprised or regretful? Now, who among us wants to change jobs, get a bigger paycheck, and then go, huh, I thought I was going to do this. They told me I was going to get to do this work. Well, that's being delayed, or now it's been changed. How many times have I gotten that call on this show? Pretty frequently. So the reality is that this is why we don't just make a move for more pay. You can, and you should quit for a better payday. Some of you are going, now, Ken, you just confused us. No. It's just quitting for the right reasons to go to the right place. So in order to grow, you will quit. Right? Even if you are getting promoted with your own company, you are essentially quitting the one job to move into another job. So I want to reframe quitting. That's the whole point of this, is that you absolutely, men and women who are successful and on purpose and moving forward will quit regularly. But they quit for the right reasons. Watch. And then they quit to the right place. Absent of quitting for the right reason and moving and quitting into the right place, then it's the wrong quit and it's not going to grow you. Make you more money, yes, but not ultimately grow you. And again, playing this out for those of you who are still a little bit like, I don't know, Ken, like I want that 14% bump. Hey, I want it for you too. But I know that the 14% bump will wear off if you end up like a lot of these people, surprised or regretful that you took the bigger paycheck and now it's not working out. Now watch what happens. More stress, more anxiety, more disappointment, more regret. And that starts to wear on you mentally and emotionally, physically as well. Oh, let's not forget for a moment while I'm talking about all the bad stuff, how that affects your wife and kids when you're dragging that you-know-what home with you. So, quitting, winners do quit. I remember when I was growing up, Alex, my dad used to say this to me, and I've looked it up, and I can't find anybody that you could attribute the quote to. But it's kind of one of those sayings that, you know, it sounds good. Gosh, it sounds good. And you hear it, and my dad used to say it all the time, and I adopted it as a mantra. And then now all these years later, I'm like, well, it sounds good, but it's not true. Let me give you an example before I share the one that my dad shared. One is that I bang on all the time on this show. Well, if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. That's just total hogwash. It ought to be, if you do what you love, you'll work harder, you'll work better, you'll work longer than ever. But boy, oh boy, is it worth it. So this idea that if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life is total hogwash. And here's the one my dad used to say. He'd say, son, winners never quit and quitters never win. Right? And I thought, well, let's look at that. Winners never quit. It's not true. Winners quit all the time. In fact, they quit the right way. In other words, they quit for the right reasons. Right? They've maximized their growth. It's time to challenge themselves to something else. So they move on. And then the other side is that quitters never win. Well, that's not true. Winners do quit and quitters do win. But it is the right way of quitting. And so this is the idea. So I want you thinking all the time. And this is a prompt, not a principle. Okay? Here's the prompt. You should be asking yourself on a regular basis, should I be quitting this? Some of you are going, what? No. Don't freak out. This doesn't mean we walk in and resign. The question is, should I quit this? So I ask this all the time. Try a new idea, some new content, and I go, should I quit that? Sometimes the answer is yes. Alex and I have beanies all the time. Hey, we tried this segment. Should we quit it? It's about excellence. It's about growth. So it's not quit your job all the time, but it's like, should I quit this focus? So should I quit worrying? Should I quit stressing? Should I quit hanging out with these people over there? So I'm expanding this idea of quitting. You know? Hey, our beloved Amanda asked this question recently, and the answer was yes. Now, Amanda didn't quit the Ramsey Solutions team, but she's quitting our show. Am I sad about it? Yes. But I'm happy for her. You know why? She's quitting to our video production team. This is an exact example of what I'm talking about. When Amanda told us and she explained it, while I was sad to see her go because she's one of the most amazing people in the world to be around, she's joyful, she loves on our callers, she contributes to the content. You know what? She's always loved video. Not always. She didn't know it. She knew it, but she didn't know it. But when she got to the point, she was like, wait. And so you know what? Amanda's quitting the Ken Coleman show, but she's quitting to our video production team where she's going to do what she was created to do. And I'm proud of you, Amanda. And that's what this is all about. This is the Ken Coleman Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we coach you up to get the competitive edge to make more money and more impact. So there you go. I don't know who doesn't want that. If you just wandered into this show and you don't want that, hang on for a little bit while longer. We'll see if your heart's actually working. Okay, very excited about a new initiative that we are testing out. We are offering Ramsey Career Coaching. These are men and women that are world-class professionals, been doing a long time. And they are a small group. A mighty group, because I said, hey, would you be willing to partner with me on this? And so this is a great opportunity for some of you out there. Some of you, it's not. You're not ready. Some of you can't afford it yet. That's fine. But some of you out there need a coach to get you the next level and think about going deeper, 45 minutes at a time with men and women who are world-class at what they do to help you see things you couldn't see, help you not just get that perspective, but then a plan for ultimate growth. That's why we created this, and we're going to limit it. It's limited space. If you want in and you want to know more, you don't have to commit, but just go to kentcoleman.com/coaching, kentcoleman.com/coaching. All right, we got to get to a couple items here. As a man of the people, I have to inform you, we call it in the news. One of the things I love about my relationship with ZipRecruiter is, you know, I endorse them. I think that they are an absolute precision arrow in your quiver of advancing and getting the right kind of job, because they're so easy to work with, and it's free to you. So it's like the risk-free resource. But I also love their content, and we're collaborating on content, and Julia Pollack, who is their in-house chief economist, she's brilliant. She's available to the show, and I love it. I love getting on the line with her and asking her pinpointed questions about the job economy and how it affects you, the listener. And so I recently got her in, and we're going to talk about the musical chairs of people just quitting to new jobs. What's going on there? How long is it going to last? We talk about what jobs are growing, what sectors of the industry are hot. And then we talk about this employee gap, and are we in a new work age? Really interesting stuff. Let's get right to it. We pre-taped this due to our schedules. This is my conversation with Julia Pollack. Well, Julia, it's great to have you back. And I saw an article you put out recently, and it was a great description of what is happening in our job market in the United States, and how we've seen so many different types of jobs created during the pandemic, coming out of the pandemic. And so I want you to just break that down. What is at the source, or what are you seeing as the result of all these newer jobs, different types of jobs, that's creating all this musical chairs, what we're calling the Great Resignation?
Right. So we have 63% more openings than we did before the pandemic, and about twice as many openings as unemployed job seekers. So that means that people are on the move because they have a better chance of striking gold, of being lucky and finding a good match. There also have been huge changes in the labor market since the pandemic. It has dramatically accelerated the shift towards remote work. So it has accelerated that trend, which was already going on, but very slowly, by 50 years. And that means that people who very much value remote work opportunities are increasingly able to find them. And that's one of the biggest reasons why people are seeking to leave their current jobs and their current industries right now. They are leaving industries with very few remote opportunities for those where remote work has now become the norm.
Yeah, so let's break that down. Let's show this graphic, guys, and then, Julia, just kind of walk us through some of the industries where we're seeing people move to, kind of the leaders in those industries as it relates to, hey, they offer flexibility.
Right. So we just did a survey of 2,000 Americans who were hired and started their jobs in the last 6 months, and 41% said that they gained flexibility, more schedule flexibility when they switched jobs, and 14% said they gained the ability to work remotely. So you're seeing movement out of industries like education and healthcare, where typically you need to work at a school or a hospital, and typically you have a set shift. The school day goes from 8 a.m. until 3 p.m. You can't really get much flexibility there. And they're moving into the kinds of industries like tech and business services, where there's tremendous flexibility now. It's the one way that employers can stand out in this very tight labor market that doesn't involve, you know, blowing up their cost structure and dramatically increasing compensation. And so it's something they're very, very eager to do, is offer more flexibility in all kinds of different ways, like Fridays off, sabbaticals, more paid time off, and then just greater flexibility around shifts in the workday.
Now, Julia, I've heard you, I've heard other economists, other job experts say this continuously over the last few weeks and months, that we don't see this great resignation or the rate of which people are job switching slowing down anytime soon. So that's going to continue to leave this large gap. And I just wonder, and I don't know that you can even answer, it may be unfair, but what are some of the factors that will need to change to see that gap shorten? Because we hear the Fed saying, well, we want to raise interest rates. I mean, Jerome Powell's going, okay, he's openly saying we raise interest rates, hopefully that companies will stop hiring. But I don't know if that solves it long term. Are we just in this new age where there's just more jobs than there are people who can fill them?
Well, the a pandemic is sort of a perfect storm. It reduces labor force participation across the board. It totally shuts off immigration. So there are lots and lots of people who should be in the labor force right now who are still not. Fortunately, we're seeing some signs of encouraging recovery and growth there. And perhaps if we have this full, healthy recovery that we're now on track to get, that will cause this game of musical chairs to slow down a little bit. But until then, we also have a longer term problem, which is projected labor shortages as far as the eye can see because of our slowing birth rate and our population growth rates are looking increasingly like Europe's and Asian countries.
All right, the good stuff from Julia Pyle. So why do we cover some of this information? Because I want you to be prepared for the shifting landscape, because the world at work is constantly changing. And if you're not aware of it and you're not prepared for it, I was telling Alex, I want to do more and more of this information, not just, coaching you or motivating you, but informing you, because the world at work is changing. And with the economy and the uncertainty of inflation, the stock market's freaking people out. You got companies that are going to start contracting a little bit, and you got others that are going to keep hiring. But there's this huge gap. And here's the point of all this. There is opportunity. That's what I hope you heard. Tremendous opportunity. Okay, next story I want to go to, and this is from the New York Post, which, the New York Post is an interesting rag. It's an interesting source, to be completely honest with you. So that deserved a paper crinkle just because it is. But this is fascinating. So this is a wake up if you're a remote tech worker. Brian Kopp, the chief of human resources research at the consulting firm Gartner, told the Post, managers believe employees who work remote are lower performers than those that come to the office. They will be, on average, more likely to lay off those who are working remote than those who are coming to the office. Simply put, out of sight, out of mind. So this is they're seeing this trend now with big tech firms, with the rising interest rates and costs and all the things. If we see layoffs start to happen, and again, this story is focusing on tech workers. If you're not in the office, and again, I'm not telling you got to come back to the office. Don't get all upset. But I think this is a very interesting point, and I would tend to agree with it. If we see the recession actually happen, which it looks on all sides, like we're heading into a recession. I was talking to somebody in real estate, the mortgage business yesterday, laying people off. I'm telling you, if you're a remote worker, you're not in the office, out of sight, out of mind, I'd get that emergency plan ready that we've been teaching about on this show. Start looking at the exits. If I had to exit, where would I go? Just be aware. It is a risk. This is the Ken Coleman Show. This is kind of fun. Our last caller presented a very intriguing question. And I said, well, that's a delicious question, meaning it's savory. I get to dive into this one. It's kind of fun. And one of our YouTube viewers, our YouTube crazies that watch live on YouTube, their handle is simply delicious. So that's fun. That's fun. All right. By the way, if anybody wants to laugh, you know what? This is the ADHD portion of the show. It's a little nugget because I'm trying to add value to you people all the time in ways you don't expect. If you've never seen Steve Harvey's stand-up routine where he talks about a guy in his neighborhood whose nickname was Delicious, And he just goes off on how a grown man can't have a nickname named Delicious. It is as funny as you could possibly imagine. Go look it up. That's just, if you need a little mental break or you need a little pick-me-up, Steve Harvey there for you. Thanks to Ken Coleman. There you go, folks. I'm here for you. All right, Mike is up in Franklin, Tennessee. That's right here where we are. It's our sandbox. Micah, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Mr. Coleman, how are you doing today?
I'm living the dream, but we cannot go any further until you stop calling me Mr. Coleman, all right? You're making me feel old, man. What's going on?
Hey, so my question today is kind of like a future career question, which is what you're good at, I've heard. So I am a senior at Belmont in Nashville.
Great.
And I'm going to be graduating and then in this next upcoming semester, school year, 2023. And I have a business that I started during COVID, like a lot of people. I run it full time, even while taking full time classes. Wow. I still manage to get in about 50 hours a week. Wow. And it's going really, really well. My question is, do I stick with running this business with how successful it is and how, like, it gives me, like, options for, you know, hours and whatnot? Or do I kind of take my entrepreneurial ventures to another interest that I had that could be a little bit more, I guess, serious career-wise? You may want to say something about that or not.
But, yeah. What are you doing now?
Into commercial real estate. So right now I own a car detailing business, and I work on exotic cars. And nice. I really like it.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. And you got good clientele, I'm guessing.
Yeah, no, I really do.
They got extra money, and they like what you're doing, and you're making really good money.
Yeah.
Gosh, I am proud of you. So you went to school to do commercial real estate eventually, or you went to school, majored in something else, and you've realized along the way that ultimately for you, commercial real estate is where you want to be. Is that developing or selling it?
I'd have to explore it. I have some clients of mine that are in the business, and they offered to give me some sit-down talks and maybe even a position.
Oh, baby, Micah, that's amazing. The answer to that is yes.
Some great stuff.
The answer to that is yes. Sit down with them, and you become a college student on everything they know and how they're winning, whether it's real estate development or selling commercial real estate. I love this idea. So this actually allows me to lock in on my answer a little faster than I was going to. I think you stay with this business post-graduation until you get to a point that A, you've confirmed you want to go into commercial real estate and you know the lane in which you want to run, and you get yourself up and going, meaning you've landed yourself a legitimate amount of income, a source of income. So for instance, if you say, I want to sell commercial real estate, so the licensing and the training that you got to get going there, the minute you get somebody to hire you, then that's when you sell your business, or if you can't sell it, could you keep it going and hire some young college guys who like cars and detailing, and you keep that going? Or the third option is you totally shut it down. You know, so
right. So one option that I know was kind of a thing, it was proposed to me by another business that I like did some work together with, is they offered to buy my clients when I was finished and then give me a percentage off of every job that they do for them.
I love that.
So that's an option as well.
I love that. Yeah, that to me is in the same option the first one I gave you, to sell it. I mean, I like that. Because here's the point. Once you've got a legitimate job in commercial real estate, whichever lane you choose, you need to go all in. So what's great is you're making really good money right now, and I'm presuming that you are saving a good chunk of money?
Yeah, no, I save about 90% of it.
So, I'm going
to college for free, so I don't have any college debt like that.
So let's say you choose the real estate sales option, you know, and you're not making anything until you sell anything. Doesn't matter, because you go all in for 3 months and you're going to be crushing it, and you're living off your savings to get you going. So yeah, I'd stay with it until you know which path you're going to take. It's a no-brainer.
Gotcha.
Because, man, I think it's so freaking fantastic that I really believe this is the proximity principle, which says in order to do what I want to do, I got to be around people that are doing it in places where it is happening. Well, you're doing high-end exotic car detailing for some real estate pros who are crushing it. They love you. They love your hustle factor. They know you're going to do a good job, and they're going to help you whether they give you advice or whether they open up doors for you. This is perfect. I'd stay put.
Right.
Yeah. It's fantastic. Are you based in Franklin?
Yes, sir. I actually live right off Lewisburg. I'm like 5 minutes from you guys.
Okay.
Business is mobile, so.
All right. So this is great. Would you mind giving your contact information to Amanda? Because I've got a 1972 convertible Karmann Ghia, and I haven't found a good detailer that I trust. It needs to be hand washed and taken care of. I can't run that through the car wash.
I'd be happy to take care of you, Ken.
I'm not even kidding.
I'm 100%. I'd be happy to take care of you.
Yeah, because you're like 5 minutes from me, and I need this baby detailed time to time. Oh, it's fantastic, folks. Advice, and I finally find my custom detailer in Franklin, Tennessee. It just doesn't get any better than this. Micah, thank you very much for the call. Hang on the line. Amanda, let's get Micah's contact info. The kid's already working 50 hours a week. Now, folks, are you getting this? I mean, this is a fantastic story. And here's how you teach out of this for a second. Very briefly. Well, let me mention something else, because actually, I got some content I want to develop. But first, I want to tell you about ZipRecruiter. I was talking to them the other day. We're sending so many people to them. And I know it doesn't work for everybody, but it works for a lot of people. And here's the point. ZipRecruiter does all the work for you while you're living your life, doing your thing. And you get the option whether or not you want to apply for something they send you. But they're really effective in what they do. And it doesn't cost you anything to sign up a profile. Never does. Companies pay ZipRecruiter, and they contacted us and said, look, Ken, you got people that are looking to move up, change gigs all the time. We want the talent. So go to ZipRecruiter.com, ZipRecruiter.com. It's about 80 million times more effective than you sending a bunch of emails out and hearing crickets. All right, ZipRecruiter.com. All right, here's what I want to teach out of really quick with Micah's story. Okay, now Micah just happens to be a college kid who's got a side hustle, okay. But let's forget his status in life and just go, here's Micah. Micah's always been really interested in one path, but he's in one place right now, and it's really working. So the question becomes, when do I leave the one path to move to the other path? Because I'm crushing it right now. I'm making really good money. I'm saving all of it. And so, again, don't assume that in order to move forward, excuse me, the best way possible, don't assume that it is to quit the one thing. Let's always look at, could I keep it? How could I keep it? Could I sell it? Can I get a windfall from it? That's the idea. He's already got a detail company going, look, man, you're crushing it, and we'll pay you for your clients. So here's the deal. He doesn't need to be in any kind of hurry. He's crushing it. He graduates college. So whatever your story is, be patient. If you got a good day job, that is stability. That could be funding the future. And in this case, it is funding Micah's future. So he relaxes because he's already bringing in money. He could take his time, research it. Which direction does he want to go in real estate? And so this is the point. Patience, 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 patience. It's the secret sauce to success. Hey, I got to get out of here. You matter. You have what it takes. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like Ramsey Call of the Day.
Check out our new Ramsey Call of the Day podcast. It'll give you a quick hit of advice about life and money in under 10 minutes. Listen to the Ramsey Call of the Day wherever you listen to podcasts.